Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday, in just one part of one verse, we met the fugitive, and we were reintroduced to the main character in the story, Abram. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 13 begins, "Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew." We will get to what this fugitive told Abram, but we have paused here on this word, Hebrew. Abram the Hebrew. This is the first time in the Bible Abram is called the Hebrew. And I told you last time there is value in understanding this word because, as you know, it is a word that is now used to describe a prominent people, the Hebrews. And we talked about the origin of the word Hebrew being in the name Aver in Genesis 10, verse 21. And outside of Scripture, in the Ebla tablets, there is frequent reference to a king named Averiam, who ruled Ebla for 28 years. Furthermore, in the Hebrew language, the term Hebrew means crossed over, or other side of the river, meaning the Euphrates River. So that in using the term Hebrew, the Bible is speaking of people who come from the other side of the Euphrates River, which is where Abram was originally from. He came from Ur and then crossed over the Euphrates River to get into the land of Canaan. And we talked about that in Genesis chapter 11. As we continue now, I want to connect that thought from yesterday to today by referring you to Joshua chapter 24 and verses 2 and 3. Listen to what Joshua proclaims to the people of God in the 24th chapter of the book by his name. I'm reading Joshua 24 verses 2 and 3. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac." You heard it. God himself says Abraham came from beyond the river. The Hebrew means crossed over, the other side of the river, and that river is the Euphrates. And so in Genesis 14, verse 13, the fugitive knows Abram as the Hebrew, or what we can say as the man from across the river. You might want to jot down Joshua 24, 2 and 3, in the margin of your Bible at Genesis 14, verse 13. Interestingly, throughout the Old Testament, when people who are not Jewish refer to the Jews, they use the term Hebrew or Hebrews. But when Jewish people are referring to one another, they will use the term Israel or Israelite. In fact, the term Hebrew is typically used by non-Israelites in a disparaging way. So that you understand this point, let's look at some other passages in the scripture. For example, in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph is working for his Egyptian master Potiphar, when Potiphar's wife makes false accusations against Joseph, accusing him of sleeping with her. The truth is, it was she who lusted after Joseph, and she wanted to get him into the bed with her, but the discipline Joseph refused. When he did, she was enraged and made the false accusations. Listen to what she says in verses 14 and 17. This is Genesis 39, verses 14 and 17. She called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed." Dropping down to verse 17. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came into me to make sport of me." When Potiphar's wife, a Gentile, a non-Jew, not an Israelite, speaks of Joseph, who was obviously Jewish, she refers to him disparagingly as a Hebrew. Elsewhere, Joseph is referred to as a Hebrew, like in Genesis chapter 41. But proceed to the book of the Exodus. In the first chapter of Exodus, listen to the king of Egypt speaking to the Jewish midwives. I'm reading Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, and he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." Now that is a sickening and evil command, not unlike abortion today, when a woman decides that her son or daughter will not live and is then murdered. But our purpose in this text is to highlight how the word Hebrew is used by a Gentile king, a non-Jew, a man who is definitely not an Israelite. The text says Hebrew midwives, and the king of Egypt says Hebrew women. So these are some examples of when people who are not Jewish refer to the Jews. They use the term Hebrew or Hebrews. Let us contrast this with examples of when Jews are talking among themselves. Then the term Israel or Israelite is used. And the name Israel was given by God to Jacob. Listen to Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. This is Genesis 32, 28. He said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel." And now let's go back to Exodus chapter 1, but an earlier verse, when the word Israel, not Hebrew, is used. This is Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. "But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them." Notice that Moses does not use the word Hebrews, but rather the sons of Israel. Or over in Genesis 46, when Jacob, renamed Israel, moved to Egypt, verse 5 says, "Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him." Sons of Israel is used, not Hebrews. The point is, when an outsider is talking about the Jews, the term Hebrew is used, as is the case in Genesis 14, verse 13, when the fugitive, the Gentile, finds Abram the Hebrew. But amongst the Jews, the descendants of Jacob are the children of Israel. And you find that God himself speaks of the children of Israel, not to the Hebrews. There is a distinction between Hebrew and Israel. I hope these passages I have shared with you assist you in seeing that contrast. We are looking into the origins of this word Hebrew, and once again we turn to archaeology and clay tablets, this time found in Egypt, to find what we believe are references to the Hebrews from outside the Bible. In the year 1887 AD, a group of Bedouin women discovered a number of clay tablets. 382 of them in total have been preserved. This was in a place called Amarna, which is about 250 miles or 403 kilometers north of the ancient capital of Thebes in Egypt. These tablets mainly included diplomatic correspondence and are called the Amarna letters. In these Amarna letters, we read of the people known as the Habiru or the Apiru. Habiru, spelled H-A-B-I-R-U, or the Apiru, spelled A-P-I-R-U. These names likely refer to the Hebrews, and they are referred to in a negative way as people who are without property, dependent on others, immigrants, foreigners, a low social class, not as an ethnic group. Let me read to you a quote from an article I have here with me. Quoting now, these letters were written in Akkadian, Babylonian, the international language of the day, instead of in Egyptian hieroglyphics. They span a period of about 20 years during the mid-14th century BC. Some 106 of them are from Egypt's vassal kings in Canaan, and thus are of great interest to students of the Bible. The letters from Canaan provide a rare glimpse into conditions a half century or so after the conquest. This was early in the period of the Judges. The biblical account is similar to the situation reflected in the Amarna letters. In particular, they complained about a group of people called the Habiru. If the Pharaoh did not take action, the letters warned, all of Canaan would be taken over by these people. It is possible that there is a linguistic connection between the term Habiru and the biblical name Hebrew. Some of the Habiru in the highlands of Canaan in the mid-14th century BC may in fact have been the Israelites, since the Bible identifies them as having been in this area at that time. Although it is certain that not all people called Habiru were Israelites, the indigenous peoples of Canaan may well have dubbed the Israelites as such, and the name may have stuck as Hebrews. End quote. Well, that is important to emphasize. Not all people called Habiru were Israelites. Still, Israelites may have been called Habiru. At least that is what we suspect from studying these Amarna letters. We need to leave it here for now, but please do join us for more tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.